This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
A few weeks ago, while at a conference of mental health professionals, I saw Dr. Marjorie Foyle coming toward me in the hallway of the inn where we were meeting. I gathered my courage and said, "Dr. Foyle, I don't suppose you would have any time during the conference to sit down and record a few words about your new book, Can It Be Me?" I was completely taken back when she responded, "Well, I have time right now." The result is a four-part interview with this amazing lady who has just turned 90 years old, but who is still challenging us to trust God and to live for Him. Marjorie's first book, Honorably Wounded, provided dramatic insights into the stress that is a part of cross-cultural missionary life, and it has resulted in new ways for organizations and individuals to prepare their people for service and to care for their needs more completely while they are on the field of service. I began by asking Marjorie if she was surprised by the impact that she has made in the world of missions.
Well, it was extraordinary because I certainly had problems in my early life. Both my brother and I had a stammer, and I think I was worse than he was. But, of course, a small child who attends school with a stammer doesn't find it very easy.
And being picked on.
And there wasn't any treatment, really. My parents had been working in the West Indies, and they came home, and I was born at home. And so because we were in the Methodist Church, we moved every 2 years, which meant a new school. And every school I went to where I was new, I had to handle my stammer all over again every time.
It's like beginning again, isn't it?
Indeed it was. But I managed all right. And one good thing was that I was a good writer. I used to write from an early age poetry and kind of kid stuff, but that sort of stuff. So that gave me a small bit of kudos. But because of various circumstances and the fact that I was always being moved around, and I was small in size, which you weren't supposed to be, and I had straight hair. You were supposed to have curly hair if you were anything as a child in my childhood. Well, all of these things worked against me, really. And I ended up feeling I really wasn't all that marvelous, you know. But anyway, I kind of plodded on, and I was academically quite good, and I kept losing friends because we kept moving. So it was a strange childhood. So I ended up with a good brain, thank God. I ended up doing well academically. And then I decided to follow my sister and become a doctor. And that all went well, and I think it improved basically self-esteem, which wasn't all that much. You see, my sister hadn't got a stammer. My brother had, but he was brilliant academically. And so I was kind of the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, I think so many people go through that, even the ones who are accomplished. They think, well, he's better than me, or dad loved them more.
I know. It's a common picture in childhood. But anyway, I plodded on, and then the war came, and I was evacuated with a medical school up to Scotland, and then I was evacuated again to Exeter, where, in God's mercy, he put me and a friend at board in the house of a Methodist minister. Any place which had empty bedroom in the wartime, they had to take evacuees who'd been had to leave London or something. Well, what impressed me was the relationship between the husband and wife, because my parents hadn't had it very easy. There was good reasons, and they looked after us extremely well, but you were aware of a bit of tension. Well, I hadn't ever seen people behave as they did. This couple I stayed with, the minister and his wife, they quarrelled, they argued, but underneath it all, there was a great and steady love, and they were terribly kind to us. So I began thinking, well, perhaps there's something in this Christian business, I don't know. And I began going to his church. And then after about 6 months, one Sunday evening, he made an appeal. And I was down the aisle as if I'd been shot out of a gun. And I stood at the altar howling my eyes out, crying my eyes out. Well, I understood that I could belong. I could belong to God, and there wouldn't be any problems, you know?
Now, your father was a missionary, right?
That's right.
How does that all fit together?
He was a very, very good missionary. And it involved moving in the West Indian Islands, which gave great kudos to my brother and sister, of course. And they did extremely well. But he hadn't got a good family background. And there were problems, which I learned about later. But he handled it extremely well, and he was an extremely good writer. And he was an excellent preacher. So ultimately, when they came home, that went on. He had churches. We moved around the whole place. But there was conflict between my parents at times, and I was aware of that. But the advantage was that we got a good education, because the Methodist Church opened two boarding schools, one for the girls and one for the boys, in England. And we didn't have to pay anything, and so we got an excellent education. And I began to discover that there were things I could be good at. When you stammer at school, it's dreadful because you're teased all the time. But I discovered I could write. I wrote poetry and goodness knows what.
Do you think these early difficulties in your life led you into psychiatry, or how did you discover the field of psychiatry?
Oh, well, I started off as a general medical missionary, doing everything in an ordinary general hospital for women. We operated, we did everything, you know. Then I helped to open a hospital in Nepal when the king gave us permission. I was up there for 5 years. And then I got moved back into the Indian hospital to try to save it. And by a pure oversight, I was not adequately consulted. And I was so upset, I thought I was going to die. My heart was in Nepal, everything. I spoke the language and everything. But in the end, I decided that I would act on what the mission wanted me to do, which was to go back and try to save a dead hospital. And it nearly killed me. At the end of it, I had quite a severe episode of depression. And that was the best thing that ever happened in my life. We had in the place I worked, the same city, an American missionary and his wife, a psychiatrist and a psychologist, who had opened up a clinic in the same city where I was. And I went straight over there when I became ill. And I stayed in their home, really ill, for about 4 months. And they looked after me wonderfully. And I got the chance of talking about all the things which had happened in my background, to which I had reacted perhaps abnormally, but which was there. And I got the chance to talk over all my problems. And I talked and I talked and I talked and I talked. But other than when I was extremely ill, when I was being very carefully watched and cared for, they cared for me absolutely wonderfully. And I got better. And then they decided it would be good if I had some further hospital work. I was well enough to work, but not in the old one, which was going to die anyway. So I went down to a hospital in a village where I wasn't given any responsibility other than examining patients. And I wasn't given any night call. And that completed my convalescence. I could walk in the country, and twice a month I came back up and saw my doctor. And I gradually emerged into God's sunshine again. And it really was the best thing that ever happened in my life. And when I had patients later on who were depressed and said, "Oh, I've spoiled everything," I said, "No, you haven't. Best thing that ever happened is to get all of this out of your system."
There are not many people that can say that. My depression was the best thing that ever happened to me.
No, I know, but it was. And then ultimately, I decided that I would take training and become a psychiatrist. And I went back and worked in the hospital where I had been helped in India on the understanding I wouldn't ever be director. And within a year, I was director. And God helped me all through it. And that's where everything started in the other world of psychiatry.
We are talking with Marjorie Foyle, and we will be talking more with her about her new book, Can It Be Me? It's her autobiography and some interesting things being said on the back of the book about remarkable writing and approaching all of these problems with humor, which I think is probably a key to getting through a lot of this, isn't it, Marjorie?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we will be talking again in what will be program 3 about Marjorie's life and how, in fact, she has brought a new understanding to the problems that missionaries face out on the field. And we thank you for talking with us once again.
It's my honor.
I've been talking with Dr. Marjorie Foyle about her autobiography, which is just out. Actually, the book was released by her UK publisher the very day that we recorded this interview. It's called Can It Be Me? And it follows her from medical school to the mission field. And she's very frank about the heartaches, pressures, and frustrations she faced, as well as the positive and encouraging things. She's also candid about her burnout and how God led her to share her experiences in Honorably Wounded, her first book, in a way that led to a dramatic appreciation of how difficult cross-cultural life can be and how rewarding as well.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.